The field. It was the season to plant. With the expert eye of a master farmer, he lovingly surveyed the field before him. The brilliant sun drifted gently beneath the hilltops behind him, and he walked along the borders, his steps heavy with purpose on the well-trodden path. His mind went back to his first thoughts of this field, and he smiled with pleasure at the intended harvest. But those first thoughts had been very long ago, and much had taken place to prepare the field for this season and this time. He had sent faithful workers at various times to prepare the field. First had been the arduous task of removing the many large stumps. These stumps were the remains from huge, well-established trees of self-ambition. Many of these trees had, over time, rotted and decayed from within. Some of the trees had begun the decay process by being the victims of bolts of lightning truth that had come searing and flashing across the night sky of ignorance in the midst of turbulent life storms. The lightning truth had frequently made deep scars in the woody trunks and branches of misconception, often bursting into ravaging flames. These would burn brightly in the darkness until the tree was beyond repair. Other trees of self-ambition had fallen prey to the sharp blows of betrayal aimed strategically at the base by someone standing very near. There were still other trees that had dried as their life fluids were sucked out slowly but surely by hundreds of pests of discouragement, impatience, and selfishness in some other many areas. Thus, all of these once grand appearing but now fallen trees had come down. But the deep, thick roots of pride of the stumps remaining had required continuous, mighty forces of wisdom, mercy, and grace at the hand of the master farmer and his faithful workers. Only then did they finally wrestle them from their deep embeddedness and drag them to the rubbish heap, rejoicing in the freedom it brought to the field. After the stumps of self-ambition were removed, the next task had been the removal of all of the boulders and large stones of unbelief. Most of these had come to rest in the field as a result of volcanic emotional eruptions from a strong and high-standing figure not too far from the general area. They had come, not all at once, but at various times and in various sizes, the stones of unbelief had landed in the field. They were made somehow of the same material as the soil, but had been changed significantly by the effects of the exposure to the angry heat inside the high-standing figure. In fact, they were often too hot to handle, very uncomfortable when they first landed, although they were very noticeable at that time. But by the time they cooled down, they were not so noticeable, and actually started to look very much like they had been a part of the place, or at worst, indistinguishable from the other stones or dusty weeds around them. And so the stones stayed, gradually becoming more in number. It wasn't until the master farmer gave the order for all stones of unbelief to be cleared from the land that the task was assessed and seen for its true magnitude. The decision was made to handle the task in two stages. The first stage would be to identify all the stones that were big enough to cause a problem in carrying out the plan. This was done by first walking the field, step by step, finding the said stones, and piling them in heaps. Once they were identified, the second step was to find a tool strong enough and mobile enough to carry these heaps off the field completely. It was again faithful workers that came with the wheelbarrow of discipleship, held firmly with the handles of love and patience, and rolling securely on a well-rounded faith. Slowly but surely, the stones of unbelief were placed one by one into the wheelbarrow of discipleship and removed from the field. Again, the workers rejoiced in the availability it brought to the field. The field had looked very different at this point from what it had looked like shortly before the trees were felled, the stumps dragged off, and the stones removed. Indeed, it was a tremendously different place. But the goal had not been to have a field that was improved or that looked better. No, the goal was to prepare for planting. And so, although the field was much better in essence, and not merely in appearance, the work was not finished by far. Many weeds of worry and grasses of care covered a great majority of the surface that not had been covered by the trees of self-ambition or the stones of unbelief. They were a pleasant and lush green of varying textures. They were quite convincing as plants that could easily be about the very business that the field was being prepared for. They were, in fact, busy about the goal of growing and producing after their own kind. The only problem was that they produced nothing beneficial except to hold the soil in place. Now, while it was a good thing to prevent erosion, there were so many other plants that could have done the same thing and produced fruit, vegetables, or grain at the same time. The nutrients, water, and space of the field were literally being wasted by the flourishing efforts of the occupants. Useless occupation for occupation's sake was never the plan of the master farmer. The field needed weeding. There was also the problem of the hard soil surface. Any seeds placed on this surface, as it was, would have surely been easy snatching from the hungry birds all around. Something definitely had to be done to loosen the hard tarp layer so that a seed could be planted and water and air could enter. That way, the seed would be able to take root and grow. The field needed to have the soil turned. Fortunately, there was a process by which the field could be weeded and the soil could be turned at the same time. And so faithful servants, at the command of the master farmer, took hoes of the word sharpened by the whetstone of the Spirit and began to break up the soil. They worked until every inch was done. The dark, chunky soil lay bare of anything except for pieces of the cut-down wilting weeds. These would soon wither and turn to nourishment themselves for the new plants that would soon grow in their places. The workers rejoiced this time because while they had worked in blind faith and obedience to the master farmer before this, they were finally beginning to see themselves the potential of the harvest from the field. At this point, even after everything might have seemed to be ready to the untrained eye, the master farmer waited. The field needed weathering. This part would have been hard to explain explicitly. It is mostly a matter of time, a matter of exposure of all the new parts, the bare parts, the unprotected parts that have just been turned over. It's a lonely time because there are no faithful workers around singing or laughing, no movement, no tools. There is really no detectable work or significant activity going on at all. This humbling, submitted waiting, however, allows the final process of the true softening and stable setting of the field soil to occur. How long? As long as it takes. It's different for each person, and even for each time or season of planting. Only he knows. It is always up to the master farmer. The choice of seed had been done just as carefully while all of this was going on. It was based on the type of soil and the type of preparation, of course, but he had also taken into consideration the watering that would be coming from the Spirit, and the kind of environment the field was located in, and the purpose of the harvest. Oh, he was sure of the seeds, the power to bring forth. He had done this many times before. In fact, before time existed, he had sown the seed of his word into a formless void, and it yielded a galaxy. Yes, he was sure of the seeds. Each seed carried with it three things. One, the ability to become as well as exact plans for an entire mature producing plant. Two, enough nourishment to get it through the first few days, even if it didn't get anything from the outside, so that it would at least be able to send out leaves to start making its own food. And three, a small amount of water to allow it to sprout and grow roots to get more water. To grow to maturity, it needed good soil and the right season. And so the master farmer arose early the next morning and met a group of faithful workers at the field side. He had decided that this was the day to plant in the ready field. He lovingly watched as the workers sowed the seeds, giving directions so that no potential growth ground was missed. The master farmer expressed his appreciation to the workers for all of the work that they had done, and especially the full day of planting. And then, well, they went on to other fields or other works, other things. But they did leave, and all was quiet. The fields actually lay kind of disappointing. This was supposed to be the great day, the day that had been waited for so long. And yet there was no real difference. It could have still been the weathery time as far as the way the field felt or even looked. And on the next day, the field really began to doubt that anything had happened there. Had there been a mistake? Had all of that talk that the field thought was intended for it actually maybe been overheard and really intended for another? It seemed like it. Could the field have been that mistaken? And what was that odd feeling? Like something small crawling all over it. And then there was the sound of the master farmer's footsteps, and quiet again. "Yes," the master farmer said softly as he gazed over the field, "the sprouts are just coming out. Soon the entire field will be heavy with fruit. This is good." It wasn't until that point that the field realized that the crawling sensation spreading over its plinth had been the feeling of thousands of sprouts poking through the surface of the field with their first leaves. "Yes, this is good."